Well, we made it. It's 2018.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Here we are. New Year's Day, new year, plenty more offbeat tracks, and probably a lot more shit to make us feel embarrassed to be American.
Now, since we're technically, since we're technically recording this before New Year's Day, but we're talking to you on New Year's Day from, you know, in the future here.
Hopefully not a scorched earth, yes?
Yeah, what is your prediction for what things look like today? What will have happened?
I don't know. It's probably just going to be really cold and, I don't have any predictions beyond that because we're living in an era that is beyond prediction.
Yes.
But
welcome to our dystopian nightmare.
That's right. But the one thing you can count on is offbeat tracks.
Yes.
Being right here for you every Monday again, because here we are doing
roaches,
this.
Roaches, death, taxes, roaches, share, offbeat tracks.
Offbeat tracks. That's right. And today we are talking about a lady who, is or was American, is American, but is not really American anymore. I don't think she lives here anymore.
I don't know where she lives. She's everywhere.
Yeah, she's probably hanging out in Germany laughing and giving us the finger. We're talking about Miss Jennifer Rush today.
We are. Old Heidi.
Old Heidi. Yeah, real name Heidi Stern. She is from Queens, New York City. Mm-hmm. Born in 1960 to an opera tenor father and a concert pianist / vocal coach mother.
Oh, yes.
So
and you can tell.
She did not have any chance to do anything except music. So
that's funny. Yeah.
According to her official bio, again, one of these folks, you know, I was going to joke about her having a web 1.0 website like a lot of these folks do, but I'll give her, hers is like web 1.5.
I went to it.
It's not nearly as sad as some of these other folks.
I thought it looked like a live journal.
Okay, kind of a little bit. I don't know. At least it looks like it's not like, oh my god, this is a GeoCities page like some of these folks have had. Anyway, the family from Queens moved to Germany when she was a little kid.
Yeah,
and then they moved to Seattle. It's no surprise then that Jennifer is multilingual. She speaks German and Spanish and English, best I can tell, and perhaps some others. But those are the three that we can confirm, like from interviews and from her singing, that she definitely can at least speak a little bit of those languages, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Her first record was actually released under her real name, Heidi Stern. Did you listen to any of that?
No, I didn't.
It's something.
What does something mean?
I mean, it was released like in the late 70s, I think. So she would have had to only be like 18 or 19 when it came out.
It's like late 70s could be anything.
Yeah. and I don't know. It's just kind of generic rocky kind of thing happening there. I don't know. Her big breakthrough, though, happened in Germany when her dad helped her get a record deal. And she did a self-titled release. One of two self-titled releases. Did you notice that?
Yes,
she has two self-titled albums.
I actually got very confused. Right? I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. So the first Jennifer Rush album came out in 1984. And to say this was a hit in Europe is the understatement of the millennium.
Yes.
Europe could not get enough of this record. They still love her.
The United States was like, meh.
Yeah, the U.S. did not like, did I didn't even know if this got a proper release in the U.S. at this point. But the U.S. did not care. but Europe ate this up. It was a hit in the U.K., in Germany, Norway, Sweden. I mean, everywhere. Her first single off of it was Come Give Me Your Hand, which did not chart.
It should have. What a jam.
Yeah. Did this remind you a little bit of Louise Tucker? It was Louise Tucker-esque to me.
A little bit. I mean, to me, like, this is for most of Jennifer Rush anyway in the 80s. Like this is like that quintessential like 80s German pop sound that wasn't really big in the US, but it was big all over Europe. And it's like, it's
how are you qualifying the German pop sound?
The way that I like to describe it, it's like soft melodic pop with an edge. So like you're singing like vocal melodies that are soft. You're not singing like it's not. I don't know.
Well, that
you've
makes
got
sense.
Soft
then why
melodies? But it's like produced hard.
Yeah,
you've got like a little rock guitar. It sounds, It sounds like it's just produced to the max. Everything is overproduced. It's like echoing.
That's really interesting. I never like had broken that down before, but you're right.
I mean, I listened to a lot of this stuff, and I listened to like a lot of old stuff that was on like the French charts in the 80s and a lot of the big German stuff that never really popped over here. And that's how everything sounds, and you don't really have that in what hit in the US charts.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's just
I never analyzed that, but and I guess I'm not surprised that you have since you love Falco so much.
Yeah,
and Europop in general. But no, I think that's a really astute observation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the quintessential like German sound. I'm sure we'll talk about other people who are like that later, and I'll point it out then too. But yeah, that's what that sound is. Very Jennifer Rush. When there's only the silence.
She followed this up with 25 Lovers, which I think was a hit in France, and it was a mild hit in Germany. This was, it's like really up-tempo, energetic, like kind of high-energy rock. Also worth noting, in the whatever music video exists of this, we get the first appearance of this very bizarre man in Jennifer's band who plays the bass. Did you notice him? I don't know what this dude's deal is.
He's awesome.
He's feeling something that is not there in the music.
He's extra.
Say that, I mean, I don't know what this dude is like. I mean, he is just like loving life, but he like looks pissed off and is just like going at it like these Jennifer Rush songs, like he's on stage with Pantera.
I mean, you gotta do.
I mean, first of all, he's playing a fretless bass, which is like. You know, that's a bold statement for Jennifer Rush's music. I don't know. What the hell is going on with this guy?
He is extra. Yeah, you've shown him to me before. He's a lot of look, but he's into it. I mean, you got to respect the passion. My thing with this and another thing on some Europop, particularly German variety, even though she's an English speaker and should know fucking better, these lyrics make no sense. They make no sense. I submit for your approval.
Oh, God.
So give me your kick. Don't be shy and use every trick. Don't tell me why. You still need the sky to fly on high.
Yeah.
I'm falling, etc. over and over. She's falling in love. She's falling in love. Check the hearts of your 25 lovers and you'll find the answer why it's you who's losing. So she's like,
yeah, I wrote that down too, like 25 verses, 25 lovers.
Yeah, but also it's like the verses, she's like, I'm so in love with you, ha ha ha.
But and if then the dude the is course, talking to like, 25 other chicks, like, hello.
Yeah, like I feel like he's like,
somebody send this lady a copy of He's Just Not That Into You.
Yeah, I'm just like,
if you're competing with 25 other women, lady, give it up.
Yeah, this dude's an asshole. She's like, you're an asshole, this is why you're a loser. Stop it. But then in the verses, she's like, I'm falling in love with you. And I'm like, wait, what is the message here?
I mean, we all want what we can't have, but good Lord, lady, 25.
Figure it out.
You're competing with 25 women.
Yeah, I don't. Mm-mm.
Like, your parents failed
you. Give it up. So give me a kick, don't be so shy. And use every trick, don't tell me why. You still need the sky to fly on high.
Ring of Ice was Jennifer's next single, and I think that this is one of those that really typifies her sound.
Mm-hmm.
I think in this video, she finally looks like herself, or as I think of her in my head anyway. Like, she looks like a kid to me in those first couple. She looks like a teenager. But Ring of Ice, she finally, like, she looks like an adult, which is weird because it's the same album. I don't know if they shot a video a few years later, but, like, she actually, like, looks like an adult woman now. And I'm like, oh, there's the Jennifer that I know in my head and love.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this song, even though it's kind of cheesy lyrically, of course, but I love the idea of like,
yeah, German 80s pop. What do you want, right?
Yeah, like, well, also Germans. Can you imagine Germans wouldn't be open? They wouldn't, you know, have cold hearts, basically.
Yes.
No one's heard of that one. Yeah, it's.
I like it. Ring of ice around your heart.
Yeah, I really like it. When I first like I never heard this. Yeah, I was like, ring of ice could be like diamond ring.
Oh, or I was that like, kind what of does ice. That yeah.
Mean? Like. Is this an environmental thing? Like the, it could mean a lot of things, but it's about, you know, just being cold.
It was a charity single. Oh, we're going to get there. Don't worry. yeah, I don't know. Not much else to say. I like this song. Ring of ice. The last single off of the self-titled Jennifer Rush album is 1984's The Power of Love. And I'm just going to go on record and say I think this is the greatest power ballad ever written.
I mean, yeah, I think.
And regardless of who sings it, like between her version, Celine Dion had a hit with it in the 90s. Mm-hmm. This is just such a well-composed song.
It is. Yeah, I mean, it's a classic. Particularly this version in Europe. This was like, yes, a little bit of a hit in the U.S.
Yeah, and it surprises me that it wasn't a bigger hit in the U.S.
I don't know.
I guess that she just was not being properly marketed here. I don't know what the deal is, but this should have been a hit. And there's no reason this shouldn't have been a hit in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge hit for Celine Dion, but yeah she's still cashing the checks
but,
on this.
But why? Like, why was Celine Dion's version a hit 10 years later?
They were marketing the hell out of her, though.
But that was kind of her breakthrough, though.
Yeah,
Celine hadn't had a huge breakthrough in America yet. She kind of did with Where Does My Heart Beat Now, because that was late 80s, but then her hit with Power
Beauty
of Love
and
was...
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, that's right.
That was like right before it.
That was, yeah, because Beauty and the Beast was 91, and then I think her version of Power of Love was 93. So it's still a couple years later. But I always think of Power of Love as Celine Dion's breakthrough into the U.S. Like, that was where she became...
that was when she became her own, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a great song. Also, I never noticed this. I was just kind of clicking around.
Mm-hmm.
And this was co-written by someone called, like, Susan Applegate.
Okay.
Who was... I was like, who the hell is that? So I click. I was like, it's a dumb name. And then I click on her Wikipedia article. She is described as an American poet, but I think she's like mostly a lyricist.
Okay.
Who is based in Europe. Did some Eurovision stuff, for example. Co-wrote Party for Everybody.
Oh, no.
By the Russian. So The Power of Love and Party for Everybody Dance.
It was the same woman.
She co-wrote it.
That's, you know,
of all songs, she did other songs for Eurovision too, and like a modern talking song, but that was like her highest one. They were like, The Power of Love and Party for Everybody. I was like, no. Anyway,
I also love, I love that you had a note about one of the songwriters, because I do too, but a different one.
Mm-hmm.
I had for years noted that this song was written by Jennifer Rush and someone named Candy DeRouge.
Mm-hmm.
And I just assumed that this was, you know, some mid-80s cashmere sweater, soft pink wearing, you know,
Candy DeRouge.
Lady writing for Laura Branigan, et cetera, et cetera, who I think also recorded a version of The Power of Love, by the way.
Yes, she did.
So you can imagine my disappointment to do some research on Candy DeRouge to be able to talk about her here and find out that Candy DeRouge is a fucking German guy named Wolfgang.
Yep.
What? I'm so upset that my vision of Candy DeRouge is not what the reality is.
That's a real catfish.
But at the same time,
that's the 80s version of a catfish.
That is, yes, I do. I feel like I've been 30 years later catfished by a German dude named Wolfgang. It's okay. This song is still iconic.
Yeah, it's fine.
Somewhere I've never been. there was kind of a weird thing with Jennifer's first two records. Like, Jennifer Rush, the self-titled one, kind of got released in some other markets under this different name, Movin', and there were some different tracks. I don't really understand how this worked, but there were a couple more songs we got to talk about from, I think, from the same record, just a different version of the record. The first one being Destiny, which is my second fave Jennifer Rush song, behind...
It's a sweet song.
Yeah, behind Power of Love. I mean, this song rules, and our buddy Weird Bass Man is back in this video. And I mean, right from the start of this, this dude is just like, you're like, what? And also, what the... I mean, this entire video in general, what the hell is going on?
No one ever knows.
They're all in this, like leather fetish clothing, and they're in a room that have a bunch of people wrapped in plastic and in cages.
I just assume that's what 80s Germany was.
And they're and they're singing this sweet pop song. I mean, whatever. Oh, Jennifer Rush.
It doesn't match. Now this time it's just right. I'm very sure I call it wonder. Something hard to define. Sometimes it's thunder that strikes my soul.
One last single to talk about from this was If You're Ever Gonna Lose My Love, which was a mild hit in Germany again, hit number 24 on the German charts.
Yeah, German pop production again.
Germany just cannot get enough of this lady. it's actually not a bad power ballad. I think that if I'm remembering correctly, as I'm scanning through the Rolodex in my brain here, I think this is the video where she's like sitting in an old car. I think she's like sitting in an old classic car. It's a cute video, and it's got that like air puff snare drum sound that I love. Yeah,
me too. That would be too much if you.
Jennifer's next proper LP was 1987's Heart Over Mind, which charted in the U.S. not well, charted in the U.K. as well, much better than in the U.S.
Oh, yeah, well.
First single being I Come Undone, which I think is kind of a forgettable Jennifer Rush single, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I like the intro. That's a pretty dope synth intro.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't do much for me after that.
Kind of like Journey Separate Ways kind of a thing going on there.
It's so cheesy, though, and she's just like, I don't want to love you, but whoa.
I know, yeah. I know, it's like, it's more just more songs about being related or like being attracted to an asshole.
Yeah, I know.
We've all been there, girl. It's fine. Yeah,
trust me.
And finally, she releases Flames of Paradise.
I'm just going to applaud this. I love this song.
A duet with Elton John.
I love the song. I love the video.
Yeah, the video. Let's talk about the damn video.
You know what? You know a song's a bop when you got a super serious German police officer who can't keep from dancing because that beat is so dope. Like that. Oh, I love it. I love anything where a police officer dances.
Yes. My favorite example of that ever will always be Cameo's Word Up video.
Oh, yeah.
When Stripper Cop just breaks it down. That's amazing. Yeah, this is a really cute song. They actually work together well as duet partners, I think.
Yes. Well, we'll see some more duets later.
Yes, we will.
Another one. that don't work as I love this song, and I think it's fantastic and should be played every day at every single event.
The next year we get Passion, 1988's Passion album. Again, a number three hit in Germany. The Germans still love Jennifer. Her first single is You're My One and Only.
If you hear it, you might be like, wow, this is a late 80s heart song.
Yeah, right.
It just sounds like one of those.
That's funny because I said, imagine if this was sung by Cher or Taylor Dane. It's just, it's
mine. I have Taylor Dane in the next song we're talking about. I'm like, funny. This sounds like Taylor Dane.
Yeah, I mean, but worth noting also, I was going to say this was before Taylor Dane, but it really wasn't. Taylor Dane's first record was 88. No, so this was
probably about the same time. Yeah.
So yeah, so Jennifer's current here. Again, I'm not really sure why this isn't hitting for her in the U.S. because it seems like it should have been.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they had just abandoned the U.S. market at this point, and they're just like, you know what? Germany loves her. Go on over there, Heidi. Do your thing.
She doesn't like to be here, so she is just like, can I just stay over here? I don't want to tour over there.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of what ABBA did, by the way.
I also want to note, too, Jennifer has this very, like, signature way of, like, her body movements. Like, if someone were to impersonate it, I'd be like, oh, you're doing Jennifer Rush. Like, she... And this video is one place where I think you can, it's very fully on display. She just has this very kind of signature way of like swaying while she's singing her little songs and kind of pushing her arms out and kicking her head back around.
I never really thought about it, but she does. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. It's really kind of cute. But when I'm in your arms, that's all there is. You're the one and only one who's ever known me. You're my one and only. Wanna feel your love light. I wanted to talk about an album cut from Passion called Remind My Heart.
Not by Taylor Dane, but it sounds like it.
Yes. And do you know why I picked this? For every reason I always want to talk about any late 80s album cuts on this show, it was written by Diane Warren.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes. And this has Diane Warren's fingerprints over it.
Yeah.
Yep. This is a textbook Diane Warren song, and I love Jennifer Rush singing Diane Warren. Love it. So before we move on, I actually didn't prep this or warn Danielle about this, but I had to bring it up because it's just so funny. So charity songs were huge at this time, right? Like in the 80s, people could not get enough of charity songs. So there was actually a Save the Rainforest charity song called Yes, We Can, done by a collective called Artists United for Nature. And...
Alfin.
Jennifer was involved with this, along with Joe Cocker, Michael McDonald, Chaka Khan.
These are all people who oversing.
And Carol Decker. And if you don't know who she is, that's the lady from Tapao.
So are they just trying to sing over each other?
Because basically. I buried the lead because it was written by Harold Faltermeyer.
Oh my God, who doesn't sing?
Exactly. That's really kind of the amazing thing. It's like a bunch of Ursulas just came along and sucked his voice out and then oversang it on the one.
Not screaming in the studio. Yeah.
So some other ridiculousness from this year we have to talk about, because this was 1989, I believe, where we are now.
Did they save it? I don't think they ended up
saving it. Oh, I know. I think the rainforests are in the same dire straits that they were at that time. Another 1989 Jennifer Rush ridiculousness we have to talk about. A Jennifer Rush moment in ridiculousness from 1989. Like, imagine having a segment that starts with that. Moments in Jennifer Rush ridiculousness from 1989. Because we've got two of them.
Part one.
Yeah. No, this is part two. Yeah, she did a duet with Placido Domingo.
Okay, I watched this video like 8 times in a row.
Yeah, right? I knew you would love this video.
Oh, my God.
So, first of all, I want to note... The more I thought about it, the less ridiculous it seemed for her to do a duet with Placido Domingo. Because remember, her dad's an opera singer.
Oh, yeah. She has a good voice. She's not going to die.
I guess it works. But
it doesn't.
Like, this video, like, he's painting her. And also, he's like 600 and she's like 20.
I felt like I was watching a sex crime.
Yeah. Like, it's like, there's just a lot of.
It's like an SVU episode if the whole episode is just the person committing the crime. Like, it was, oh, it's so creepy.
I had never heard of this song, but apparently this actually is a well-known song. It was originally recorded by Placido Domingo and Dionne Warwick. And Barbara Streisand and Don Johnson had a hit with it. It's from a musical called Goya. So there you go. So it was a Broadway song that crossed over, I guess.
Interesting.
Jennifer's and Placido's version was a hit in the UK. Streisand and Don Johnson had a hit, number 25 hit with it in the US. Can you believe that?
Yeah, what year was that?
1989. So, ooh. I'm like, how did I not know this?
Boy, gewalt.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about this video that I don't understand. First of all, opera singing does not translate well into music video.
No, it's not. No, it does not.
Like, it's just you're watching someone like make the same mouth thing for super long time and it doesn't work. Like, it's just
it doesn't.
Creepy. Also, the painting, she's like getting painted.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. Uncomfortable.
By the way, it turns out to be a shitty painting. It's a shitty painting. And also, probably because...
It's like in Not Another Teen Movie where she's all like laboring over the canvas. Yeah. And then it's just the stick figure.
Yeah, no, it's a That's shitty hilarious. Painting. And it's probably shitty because for anyone who's ever painted somebody or posed for somebody painting, you know not to fucking move. And she's moving the whole time. She's like writhing. I'd be like, if I were Plasto, I'd be like, stop
Jennifer,
moving.
Jennifer, sit still.
Yeah. So now she's like, you know, probably mad because you got a shitty painting out of it. But that's probably because she couldn't move. Like, what was he supposed to do? Anyway, it's a lot and I have a lot of opinions about it. But until next time.
Jennifer released the second Jennifer Rush album, another self-titled record in 1992. And we're going to talk about this single, Vision of You. I actually thought this was pretty dope.
Here's the thing. This is where I get off the train. I was never fully on the Jennifer Rush train. I'm like, fine.
But you're done here.
Once we hit the 90s, I'm just like, no, cut it out. I can't do the Jennifer Rush 90s adult contemporary. I can't do it.
That's a very good way to describe it. Like, she's been an adult contemporary artist her entire career, if you're looking at the way she would have been marketed in the US, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's very adult contempo. She's not really pop. She's not dance. And I think that she kind of fully embraced that in the 90s.
I know, yeah.
Because this one, Vision of You, it sounds like, you know, Enigma, the other kind of stuff that was going on at that time, which I know you're not really a fan of.
We had Enigma. That was enough.
Indeed. Nobody's touch feels like your touch. Nobody gets to me that much. Nobody's kiss moves me inside. And I have no place left to hide. Tell me, what can I do? I have a vision of you. 1995's album Out of My Hands was a hit in Germany. Jennifer actually says on her website that this is her best-selling single of all time, which is very interesting. It's called Tears in the Rain.
How is that not bigger than Power of Love?
I don't know.
It was the best-selling single by a
I thought so too,
female
but she,
woman in she British claims, history.
She claims that Tears in the Rain is the biggest hit of her career, which is very interesting. It's not a bad song. I don't think it's super memorable, but
it's completely unmemorable. But I do want to, if Jennifer Rush is listening, I want to warn her that she may have a stalker in the YouTube comments for this video.
Oh no.
There's one guy who just keeps commenting over and over. His name is Johnny. Like from The Room. I don't know. She is gorgeous. She's gorgeous. Botox or not, gorgeous.
Oh no.
Still a beautiful woman. That voice is divine. And then
these are all separate comments. And then he
also got really mad when someone said she looked like Pete Burns' sister now.
Oh, God.
And, oh, he had a lot to say about that.
Oh, God.
That's all we're going to put in there. Anyway.
So those were all separate comments?
Yes.
From Johnny?
Johnny had... And they were like, I feel like they were all Johnny. Done. Like, at the same time, he was just like, gorgeous. Let's do another comment. And I was like, I wanted to email and be like, girl, get protection.
I will
get
say now, security. There is great entertainment to be found. If you go look at like semi-pop hits from the 90s or late 80s, like, and look at the YouTube uploads, the one I always point to is Timmy T's One More Try.
Oh, God.
There are some hilarious comments on that YouTube video. People just will like literally start unloading and telling you their life story. Like, you know, most people, like a comment on a video like that would be like, oh, man, used to love this song. That's like a normal comment to me. Yeah. Some people literally will just start out like, Jefferson High, 1989. I remember seeing you across the room, Anna. Like, they'll just tell you their whole life story. there is something magical about like comments from weirdos on videos.
They tell you not
like
to
this.
Read the comments, but really you should.
On videos like that, read the comments. So I wanted to bring this up because it was such a change in sound for her. And I know you're going to I know the 8 million things you're going to have to say about this. But Jennifer did release an album in 1997 called Credo that was not released in the UK or the US. I believe this was only released in Germany. And she really went for a different sound on this record.
Oh, she went for it.
The
she
music sure video did. For the title track Credo was actually shot in the Namib Desert in Africa. Because there's a lot of like African musical influence on this record. It's like her, it was like, this was her Graceland moment. This Paul Simon's Graceland. This was Jennifer Rush's Credo.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. The new age 90s spirit, like spirituality bullshit that I hated back then and I hate even more now. That's what this is. Also, they're in Africa and it's just like talking about like, is there a savior? Who's going to save us? Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, do they know it's Christmas?
Yeah. Also, it's just like, you know, a bunch of like Africans, like black people. They're like, who's going to save us? And then like, because I went back to the comments. Because I was so bored listening to the song, I went back to the comments. Someone just commented my favorite one. It's my second favorite one. A lot of white people need saving too. And then,
oh God!
What I think is the best way to describe this song from someone who I think is Italian: dumb song, dummier lyrics.
Dummier.
Dumb song.
Dummier lyrics. A plus, sir.
Dumb song. Dummier.
Dummier lyrics.
Like, I want to get that tattooed on my body. It's so perfect.
Outside the gates of heaven, we wait. Will he really come at all? He will save us all. He come today, will he come today? Will he really come at all?
So Jennifer, I think, has released a couple of greatest hits albums since then. And I think that she actually did drop a new record in 2014, but I couldn't find it anywhere to listen to it. Her website does seem to be moderately active. I don't think she's made any posts in a couple of years on it, but it does seem semi-current. It's jennifer-rush.com if you want to check that out. Also, I'm not going to play a clip of it, but I had to note it that she... Did you know that she did a cover of Colors of the Wind?
Yes, the German version.
She
for
sang it in
Pocahontas.
German. Oh, that's like... That's the most Jennifer Rush... Like, that's peak Jennifer Rush. If there's such a thing that is peak Jennifer Rush... It's singing Colors of the Wind in German.
Yeah, she also spent a lot of time. I think she lived in South Africa for a long time. She was working on like
the
voice in South Africa.
Perhaps that was during the Credo era.
No, this was like a few years ago. She was like doing the voice coaching show stuff that people watch.
Well, there
that
you
I
go.
Don't like in South Africa. So I guess she like has a decent little following there.
Well, there you go. So there you go. Jennifer might be in South Africa. She might be in Germany. She might be back in Queens. Doubtful.
We don't know.
I wouldn't come back here if I had been living in Germany for all these years.
Dystopian nightmare.
Yeah, now would not be the time to return. But hey, you know what? New year, new possibilities. New legal counsel, hopefully.
New Kratos.
Doing their job. New administration. We're hoping for all of these things. Tell us what your grand hopes for are for 2018, 2018. Mm-hmm. Hit us up on our website, which is offbeattrackscast.com.
And we are also on Twitter at Offbeat Tracks.
Yeah, we are. And we'll be back in week number 2 of 2018 next week.
If we're still here.
Yes. See you then.